All right. Oh, it sounds like I'm in a good mood. My God. Hello, children of the revolution. This is Daddy Ben Bear, Ben Brown Jr. here for the audio educational and anthology series, what you're not listening to, here on Ace of Spades, PDX, or however else you're finding us, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, RSS feed, download your Android device through email. Welcome back. It's June 30th, and I'm giddy because this last month has just been absolutely incredible. The amount of feedback and mail that we've gotten in response to our Black Message Track 64 through 75 shows with my very special guest host, Baby Boy Ronald D. Smith, were just out of the park winners. And according to the feedback we've gotten, I haven't received one negative comment yet, which is really, really unusual and incredible. And so hopefully capitalizing on my very, very good mood that we somehow connected with people. These are shows I've been planning now for some time that took on kind of an even more importance this year. As the longtime drummer for Rush, Mr. Neil Peart, passed away earlier this year. And before we do anything else, I just have to say, as a cancer survivor, fuck cancer. All right, now that we have all that out of the way, I just want to let everyone know that we are doing two, not one, but two Canada Day specials here. And I'm really, really excited. And the first one we're going to be featuring is Rush in the 1980s. And it was in the 1980s, which were very kind to our heroes, that the greatest power trio in history decided to expand their sound and take chances, resulting in worldwide commercial success. At the beginning of their second physical decade as recording artists, Rush, the greatest power trio in history, decided to do the unthinkable, alter their sound dramatically, but over a period of time, in stages. They didn't completely leave behind their trademark blend of progressive rock and heavy metal, but they were one of the few acts that of the sound they basically created, and one of the few of the era to continue to find new fans and survive the 1970s. Their new releases of the decade saw them do the unthinkable for a progressive rock act, which was to chart hit singles around the world. In fact, their very first top 20 single anywhere was not in their native Canada, but in the UK, which was the spirit of radio in 1980, an incredible feat for a group founded in 1968 and who would release their first single in 1973. Shorter, tighter songs became the norm, and after their 1981 LP Moving Pictures, a classic album in every sense of the word, they also abandoned the lengthy extended suites that brought them initial fame. Synthesizers were now common, as was digital recording technology. Vocalist Geddy Lee even started singing in a lower, more natural register. New musical influences started to creep in, such as pop, classic rock, funk, and even reggae. The band were now solidly ensconced as arena rock headliners, but unlike so many other acts of the period, they were still Rush. Weird, quirky, following no one's muse but their own, not bending to current radio trends, and even willing to stick to their guns when critical and commercial feedback wasn't kind to them. Believe me, this was an era when many mainstream heavy rock bands were having major hits about strippers and blowjobs, subjects never discussed on a Rush recording. By the end of the decade, the now veteran group had achieved the impossible, something no other Canadian act has done, become a consistent chart presence with a diehard fan base that would follow them anywhere sonically they wished to travel. For example, in the United States, they trail only two recording artists in terms of consecutive gold-certified records, the Beatles and the Rolling Stones. Impressive company, guys. Most importantly, the band never took their success for granted, were genuinely humble, and made time to actually meet and connect with fans, either in person or through books and the internet. You never got the impression that these people hated being around each other after working so closely together for so many years. They all knew how good they were, and never settled for not attempting to even be better than that. Ego never seemed to be a word used to describe Rush. At the end of the day, this is what possibly makes the band so unique and iconic. If you're in it for the music and the brotherhood, there is no telling what three friends can achieve. And as a side note, Canada Day is actually very special for me for two reasons. My mother's an immigrant to this country, to the United States. She was born in St. John's, Newfoundland. And this was Newfoundland before it was annexed. Yes. And her birthday, of course, yes, yes, children of the revolution, was July 1st. This is our very first year here, 2020, that she is not around to celebrate it. So with those wonderful things in mind, and to all my cousins in the Great White North, I hope all of you are doing well. And we will be doing a second Rush show, Rush in the 70s, which features even some material many of you album collectors don't even have. I'm really excited to put both of these out. And we're going to kick it off in high fashion here from their 1982 album Signals, which was actually the very first time I saw the band on tour live in Los Angeles. This is the Analog Kid, and we will see you in about 30 minutes.
Afternoon, the August afternoon has the trees in concert. again to the eye of the storm. Look out for the force without form. Look around, sight and sound. Look in, look out, look around. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
blazing across the cities of the plain. There's no swimming in the heavy water, no singing in the acid rain. Red alert, red alert. It's so hard to stay together, passing through revolving doors. We need someone to talk to and someone to sweep the floors.
And welcome back, Children of the Revolution. This is Daddy Ben Bear, once again, Ben Brown Jr., your host, producer, webmaster, audio engineer, researcher, and writer here for our Rush in the 1980s show here on June 30th, 2020, our first of two Candidate Day shows. So this will be broadcasting in the evening of June 30th, and then shortly after midnight, we'll be broadcasting here, Pacific Daylight Time, I should say, our Rush in the 1970s program. So, but let's dial this back just a moment, and let's recap what we've heard in the first part of this show, shall we? Kicked it all off was the Analog Kid from 1982, Signals, following that from the album Hold Your Fire from 1987, Force 10, Vital Signs, the last track on 1981's Moving Pictures. Again, if you only own one Rush record, and I know that's probably heresy for some people, I would have to say it would be this one. It encapsulates everything that you love about the band, and a great introduction to them and everything else they've done. You can also find it's their biggest seller, so you can more than likely find a great used copy somewhere as well. Following that, from 1989's Presto, their last of the decade, Show Don't Tell, which was actually their very first number one single to make the U.S. mainstream rock tracks. Yes, after, you know, a decade and a half of success, they finally had a number one hit here. Following that was a live version of The Spirit of Radio from 1981's Edge Stage Left. And the song we just heard, Distant Early Warning, yes, about nuclear war, not strippers and blowjobs, from 1984's Grace Under Pressure. And I really struggled with what we were going to kick off the second part, and I didn't want to include it because we already had two tracks, Moving Pictures, but damn it, it's such a great record. And this is Canada in a nutshell. It's an instrumental, and it is one of Rush's best love songs. If you ever see them or get a chance, have the opportunity to see them live, you can see these clips on YouTube. You just see how absolutely, well, just crazy everyone went, actually jumping up and dancing, which is something you rarely ever see at a progressive rock show. From 1981's Moving Pictures, the very next thing you're going to hear is Morse code for the airport code for Toronto, Canada, which is YYZ. We'll be right back.
saw your mean, mean pride. Though his mind is not for him, don't put him down this arrogant. His reserve of quiet defense, writing out.
And welcome back once again, Children of the Revolution, to our very special Rush in the 1980s show, part one for Canada Day. Tomorrow we'll have part two, which will be the 1970s. Here on Ace of Spades, PDX. PDX being the airport code for Portland, Oregon. And the reason I mentioned this is because we kicked it all off with YYZ, the second part of our show, from 1981's Movie Pictures, following that, The Big Money from 1985 from Power Windows. Subdivision's live version of that from 1987's A Show of Hands. They would release quite a few live albums later on in their career. And the song we just heard, an absolute stunner, Tom Sawyer from 1981's Moving Pictures. There isn't much more I can say that I've already said. Obviously a fanboy, fan bear, I don't know. What do you call a Rush fan anyway? Stoner? La 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 la. I just want to say, if you have questions, feedback, comments, dedications, love letters, requests, always welcome. Please drop me a line at daddybenbear@gmail.com. Thank you all for being here. Love to you all. Happy Canada Day. And we will see you again in just a few hours to keep this going. And of course, we miss you, Mom. Happy birthday as well. From 1980s Permanent Waves, this is Natural Science.
Living in the pools, they soon forget about the sea.